So you're thinking about jumping into the world of plastic injection molds, huh? Well, lead times, they can be a bit of a mystery, a bit of a black box. But we're going to try and crack that open today and give you the knowledge to kind of figure out, how to navigate those timelines like a pro. Like
Absolutely.
you've been doing it for years.
Yeah, and we've got a great place to start, actually. This article, what is the lead time for a plastic injection mold? It lays out a lot of the basics, but I think we can kind of go a little bit deeper today.
Yeah, definitely. And the article mentions lead times anywhere from, a few weeks to several months. What
Yeah.
makes that range so vast?
I think it really comes down to a couple of key factors.
Yeah.
The complexity of the mold itself
Okay.
is really a major driver of that timeline. So you think about like a simple mold for, say, like a bottle cap
Right.
versus a complex mold for something like an automotive part with all the intricate details.
Oh,
You can
yeah.
see how that would impact the lead time.
Yeah, it's not just about size, then it's about the details and the precision. Yeah.
Exactly that are needed. So what
Yeah.
are some things that actually make a mold design complex then?
Well, if your design requires, very tight tolerances,
Okay.
undercuts, or complex curves,
Right.
that all adds complexity. We're talking about,
Yeah.
multiple moving parts, very specific surface finishes,
Oh, wow.
and a lot of times integrated cooling systems.
Yeah. There's a lot more to it
Oh,
than
yes.
meets the eye. And I bet the design requirements themselves play a role too, right?
Absolutely. Standard designs that have been used before are usually much faster to execute.
Right.
But if you're doing something that's unique or has very specific specifications, that's where it gets tricky. You
Right.
need to do a lot of upfront work, verification, multiple simulations to make sure it's going to work.
So those lead times can really add up
Yeah.
pretty quickly. Now, the article also mentions that the manufacturer's capabilities are a factor as well.
Oh, hugely important.
Right.
Choosing the right manufacturer is going to make or break your project timeline.
And I think experienced manufacturers, particularly ones who have done a lot of complex projects, are going to have much smoother production processes. They've seen a lot of these tricky situations before.
Okay.
They know how to deal with them.
So it's like choosing a specialist over a general practitioner. You
Exactly.
want someone who really knows what
Right.
they're doing. But what are some like practical questions that I can ask a potential manufacturer to kind of figure out
Yeah.
where their experience level is?
Oh, that's great. Don't be afraid to ask for examples of complex molds they've created in the past,
Okay.
especially for, products that are similar to what you're trying to do.
Got it.
You can even ask them about their risk mitigation strategies.
Okay.
How do they plan for things to go wrong
Yeah.
during the design and the production phase?
Okay. So if they're kind of hesitant
Yes.
to answer those questions,
Huge red flag.
that's not good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you want someone who's transparent and open about their capabilities and experience.
Got it. Now let's talk a bit about the tricky design challenges then. So the article mentions precision in complex designs. It seems to be a recurring theme.
It is.
It's no walk in the park
Not at all.
to achieve high precision.
Especially for intricate designs like automotive parts. Even a tiny deviation can have
Oh, yeah.
big consequences down the
Yeah.
road. So that's where manufacturers that specialize in these types of molds will invest in
Okay.
really high-end design software and simulation tools.
So it's not just about skilled craftspeople then.
Right.
It's also having the right technology in place.
Usually.
What about material selection?
Oh, yeah. Material selection is another tricky one. You
Yeah.
need the right material for the job, but it also has to be readily available.
Right.
And, sometimes if you need a specialized material that's high strength or corrosion resistant,
Okay.
it can be scarce or expensive.
Dad?
And that can lead to design adjustments or longer lead times, or it might not even be feasible.
Right, so you have to balance finding that perfect material and then what's actually attainable.
Exactly.
What are some other design challenges that we should be aware of?
I think a lot of times the cooling and ejection systems
Okay.
get overlooked,
But they're critical, though.
but they're absolutely critical.
Yeah.
A poorly designed cooling system
Okay.
can lead to longer cycle times,
Right.
warped parts, all kinds of issues.
I actually didn't think about that. The cooling system impacting the timeline.
Yeah.
Can you talk a little bit more about that?
Yeah. So the cooling system's got to be efficient to make sure that the part
Okay.
solidifies correctly and quickly.
Right.
You've got different types of cooling systems,
Right. Okay.
You've got conformal cooling channels that follow the shape of the part.
Yeah.
You've got baffle systems,
Yeah.
traditional straight channels.
Right.
Each one has its own kind of advantages and complexities.
Okay.
And designing these effectively takes time and expertise.
So the type of cooling system can actually impact the overall production time.
Absolutely.
What about the ejection system? How does that come into play?
Yeah, the ejection system is all about getting the part out of the mold without damaging it,
right?
Which can be tricky with complex designs.
Yeah.
You've got different mechanisms like ejector pins, stripper plates, air ejection.
Wow.
And if it's not designed properly, you can end up with damaged parts.
Right.
Production delays.
A lot of frustration.
A lot of frustration.
So many moving pieces in this process.
It is.
Literally. But knowing these things in advance really helps, I think, feel more prepared. Now, we were talking about manufacturer capabilities.
Yeah.
How do you actually determine if they're up to the task of handling these complex designs and your specific needs?
Right.
What are some red flags
to
watch out for? And how do you make sure the whole process goes smoothly?
Well, that's where you got to put on your detective hat and do a little bit of digging.
Okay, I like that analogy.
Yeah.
So where do we start our investigation?
I think first and foremost, don't just take their word for it when they say that they're experienced.
Right.
Ask for proof. Request detailed case studies of similar projects that they've completed.
Okay.
You know, look for evidence that they've dealt with the level of complexity that your project requires.
I wouldn't want to be their first
complex
automotive part.
Exactly.
If that's what I need. What about red flags? What should I be looking out for?
If they're hesitant to share specific examples, or if they kind of brush off your questions about their experience, that's a big red flag.
Got it.
You want a company that's very transparent about their capabilities.
Open and honest.
Yeah. And another red flag is if they're overly eager to take on your project without really understanding the details and asking a lot of questions.
They just want the contract.
Yeah, they just want the contract. They're not really thinking about whether they can actually deliver.
Yeah, that makes sense. So experience is crucial. But then we also need to think about their capacity.
Yeah.
And efficiency.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Even the most skilled team can only handle so much at once.
Right.
So if they're already swamped with projects, yours might end up on the back burner.
Okay.
Which is going to extend the lead time.
So it's like checking the wait time at a restaurant.
Exactly.
If there's a 2-hour wait, maybe I should go somewhere else.
Find another option.
And don't forget to ask about their technology.
Oh, yeah.
And equipment.
Absolutely. That's key.
How do I tell if they're really on the cutting edge?
Look for companies that are actively investing in and utilizing technologies like CAD/CAM CE software.
Okay.
These tools are really game changers for streamlining the design, simulation, and manufacturing process.
I see a theme here.
Yeah.
Asking the right questions.
Asking the right questions,
Getting to the nitty gritty.
Exactly. Don't be afraid to dig a little deeper.
And what about the human element?
The human element is super important because technology is fantastic.
Right.
But ultimately,
it's people doing the work.
It's the people who make it all happen.
So how can I assess their workforce if I can't interview everyone?
Well, you can inquire about their training programs.
Okay.
Their average years of experience.
Got it.
Any certifications or qualifications that they hold.
All right.
You can even ask about their company culture and how they promote collaboration.
So it's looking for a company that really values your employees and invests in them.
Absolutely.
Makes sense. Now let's shift gears a bit and talk about strategies to maybe shorten the mold preparation cycle.
Okay.
What's the most impactful thing that we can do to make sure the whole process goes smoothly and as quickly as possible?
I think it sounds simple.
Okay.
But it's often overlooked.
Okay.
Advanced planning and communication is absolutely vital.
So be proactive and give them the specifications up front.
Precisely.
Got it.
Don't wait till the last minute to hand over your designs and your requirements. Mm. The more info the manufacturer has from the start, the better they can plan source materials.
Okay.
And they can even start preliminary work while the design is being finalized.
So you're giving them a head start.
Yeah, giving them a head start.
And they'll be less likely to encounter unexpected delays.
Exactly.
What about the design itself? Is there anything we can do there to help speed things up?
Absolutely. And this is where those advanced design tools we talked about come in.
Okay.
Leveraging CAD/CAM CI software can really improve the efficiency and accuracy of the whole design process.
Can you give us some specific examples of how those tools can actually be used?
Yeah, sure. With CAD software, you can, you know, analyze draft angles, wall thicknesses, undercuts to make sure that your design is going to be compatible with the injection molding process.
Got it.
You can even simulate the mold filling and cooling stages.
Wow.
To identify potential problems like air traps or sink marks.
So you've got a virtual testing ground.
Yeah, it's like a virtual testing ground.
That'll save a lot of time.
Oh, yeah. tons of time and rework later on.
Down the line. Okay.
And then CAM software can be used to optimize the machining of the mold itself.
Okay.
To create more efficient tool paths.
Got it.
And reduce the overall machining time.
So it's all about doing as much as you can.
Up front, yeah.
Virtually before you actually...
Before you cut any steel.
Go to production. I'm really starting to see the power of these technologies.
Oh, yeah.
It's not just about making cool designs. It's about making designs that can be manufactured.
Exactly.
What about on the manufacturer's side?
Yeah.
What can they do to streamline production and speed up the process?
Well, I think refining production schedule is a big one.
Okay.
That involves, you know, meticulously planning
okay.
and sequencing every step of the mold fabrication process.
That sounds like a complex puzzle.
It is.
To figure out.
But with careful planning and coordination,
okay.
manufacturers can save a lot of time.
Okay.
They can also optimize their machining processes by using, you know, the most efficient techniques and equipment.
So they're looking for little efficiencies.
Little efficiencies.
Yeah.
That add up.
That add up to big time savings.
Over time. Are there any specific examples of that?
Well, one example would be incorporating high-speed machining centers.
Okay.
These specialized machines can process materials much faster and with greater accuracy than traditional methods.
So it's like going from a bicycle to a race car.
Exactly.
What other tactics can they use?
Another strategy is parallel processing, where multiple operations
okay.
are carried out simultaneously.
All right.
So, for example, while one part of the mold is being machined,
right.
another part might be undergoing polishing or finishing.
Got it.
And this allows for, you know, greater flexibility
okay.
and can significantly shorten the overall production time.
So working smarter, not harder.
Exactly.
Now, what about the supply chain? We talked about materials before, but are there strategies that can ensure a smooth flow of materials?
Yeah, I think one really effective approach is to establish strong relationships
okay.
with key suppliers.
And maybe even secure contracts for specialized materials in advance.
Got it.
So this kind of proactive planning
okay.
helps mitigate the risks of delays
right.
due to, you know, material shortages.
So you've got all the ingredients ready to go.
It's like having your ingredients prepped.
Before you start cooking.
Exactly. You don't want to be in the middle of the process and realize, oh, I don't have this critical ingredient.
That's a great point. So it's all about anticipating those bottlenecks
yeah.
before they happen.
Absolutely.
Now, we've talked a lot about the technical stuff.
Right.
What about the human element? We mentioned that a skilled workforce is important.
Yeah.
But how do we make sure that the human side of things gets the attention it deserves?
That's a great question
yeah.
because it's easy to get caught up
yeah.
in all the technical details
yeah.
and forget that there are real people
yeah.
behind those machines and processes.
It's not just robots doing this.
Exactly. And I think it starts with creating a company culture
okay.
that values its employees,
right.
invests in their skills,
yeah.
encourages open communication and collaboration.
So it's not just having the latest tech. It's creating that environment
yeah.
where people can thrive.
Exactly. When you have a team of skilled and passionate people
yeah.
working together towards a common goal.
Right.
That's when the magic really happens.
That makes sense. And now speaking of technology, we've talked a lot about how CAD/CAM,
yeah.
CAE software and automation are changing the game.
Right.
What are some of the challenges and opportunities that that presents?
Yeah.
Especially when it comes to lead times.
Well, I think it's a really fascinating area to think about.
Yeah.
Because on the one hand, you know, these technologies have huge potential.
Right.
For improving efficiency, precision, quality in rolled fabrication.
Yeah.
They can automate repetitive tasks, reduce human error, and enable the creation of increasingly complex designs.
Right.
It's like having a superpowered workforce.
But like all powerful tools, I imagine there's downsides to consider as well.
Absolutely. You know, integrating these technologies properly requires a lot of investment.
Yeah.
Not just in the technology itself, but also in training people to use it.
Got it.
It's not enough to just buy the latest gadgets.
Right. You need the people behind it.
You got to have the knowledge and the expertise
to make it all work,
to really leverage it effectively.
So it's finding that balance between the technology and the human capabilities.
Exactly.
Not replacing.
It's about enhancing human capabilities.
Not replacing them. And what about like the broader societal impact of all these advancements?
Yeah, that's an important question.
Yeah.
And, you know, as automation becomes more common in manufacturing,
right.
there are concerns about potential job displacement.
Yeah.
It's really critical that we invest in education and reskilling programs
right.
to help people adapt.
To stay ahead of the curve.
Yeah, and make sure that everyone has a chance to participate in this, you know, technological revolution.
So it's a balancing act between innovation and then also making sure that we address those consequences.
Absolutely.
And that conversation needs to be happening at every level.
Yeah, from individual companies to policymakers to, you know, educators.
It's everyone's responsibility.
Yeah. I think one thing's for sure, technology is going to continue to play a bigger role in the future of manufacturing.
Right.
And it's really up to all of us to make sure that we're using it responsibly.
So to wrap up this deep dive into plastic injection mold lead times, what are some key takeaways?
I think the biggest takeaway is that mold preparation timelines are not fixed.
Okay.
There's a lot of variability depending on design complexity, material choice, manufacturer capabilities, even just the level of communication and planning involved.
So it's not one size fits all.
It's not one size fits all.
It's a journey.
It's a journey.
And you need to, you know, be careful and really collaborate.
Yeah. And I think, you know, knowledge is power.
Yeah.
The more you understand the factors that influence those timelines, the better decisions you'll be able to make.
We explored a lot of those factors today.
We did, yeah.
From design challenges to choosing the right manufacturer to the tech that's available.
Exactly.
And don't forget the human element.
Oh, yeah.
You know, build strong relationships with your manufacturer, with their team, open communication, trust, and shared goals.
Absolutely. Those are the foundations of a successful journey.
Excellent points. So to our listeners out there, I hope you feel empowered to tackle those mold preparation timelines, armed with all this new knowledge.
Absolutely.
It's not just about speed.
Right.
It's about finding that balance.
Yeah, the right balance.
Between quality, efficiency, and that collaboration.
Exactly.
Didn't have said it better myself.
And don't be afraid to ask questions.
Yes.
You know, the more you learn,
the better.
The better decisions you can make.
So until next time, everyone, happy molding.
Happy molding.
It is.
But with careful planning and coordination, manufacturers can shave off valuable time. They can also optimize their machining processes by using, you know, the most efficient techniques and equipment.
So they're looking for little efficiencies.
Little efficiencies, yeah.
That add up.
That add up to big time savings.
Over time. Are there any specific examples of that?
Well, one example would be incorporating high-speed machining centers.
Okay.
These specialized machines can process materials much faster and with greater accuracy than traditional methods.
So it's like going from a bicycle to a race car.
Exactly.
What other tactics can they use?
Another strategy is parallel processing, where multiple operations are carried out simultaneously.
Right.
So, for example, while one part of the mold is being machined, another part might be undergoing polishing or finishing.
Got it.
And this allows for, you know, greater flexibility.
Yeah, okay.
And can significantly shorten the overall production time.
So working smarter, not harder.
Exactly.
Now, what about the supply chain? We talked about materials before, but are there strategies that can ensure a smooth flow of materials?
Yeah, I think one really effective approach is to establish strong relationships with key suppliers.
Right.
And maybe even secure contracts for specialized materials in advance.
Got it.
So this kind of proactive planning helps mitigate the risk of delays due to, you know, material shortages.
So you've got all the ingredients ready to go.
Yeah, it's like having your ingredients prepped.
Before you start cooking.
Exactly. You don't want to be in the middle of the process and realize, oh, I don't have this critical ingredient.
That's a great point. So it's all about anticipating those bottlenecks before they happen.
Absolutely.
Now, we've talked a lot about the technical stuff.
Right.
But what about the human element? We mentioned that a skilled workforce is important.
Yeah.
But how do we make sure that the human side of things gets the attention it deserves?
That's a great question.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's easy to get caught up in all the technical details.
Right.
And forget that there are real people
behind
those machines and processes.
It's not just robots doing this.
Exactly. And I think it starts with creating a company culture that values its employees.
Right.
Invests in their skills.
Yeah.
Encourages open communication and collaboration.
So it's not just having the latest tech. It's creating that environment where people can thrive.
Exactly. When you have a team of skilled and passionate people working together towards a common goal, that's when the magic really happens.
That makes sense. And speaking of technology, we've talked a lot about how CAD/CAM, CAE software, and automation are changing the game.
Yeah.
What are some of the challenges and opportunities that that presents, especially when it comes to lead times?
Well, I think it's a really fascinating area to think about.
Yeah.
Because on the one hand, you know, these technologies have huge potential
Right.
For improving efficiency, precision, quality in mold fabrication.
Yeah.
They can automate repetitive tasks, reduce human error,
Okay.
and enable the creation of increasingly complex designs. It's like having a superpowered workforce.
But like all powerful tools, I imagine there's downsides to consider as well.
Absolutely. Integrating these technologies properly requires a lot of investment,
Yeah.
not just in the technology itself, but also in training people to use it.
Got it.
It's not enough to just buy the latest gadgets.
Right, you need the people behind
You
it.
got to have the knowledge and the
But make it
expertise
all
to
work.
really leverage it effectively.
So it's finding that balance between the technology and the human capabilities,
Exactly.
not replacing.
It's about enhancing human capabilities,
Enhancing, yeah.
not replacing them.
And what about like the broader societal impact of all these advancements?
Yeah, that's an important question.
Yeah.
And, as automation becomes more common in manufacturing,
Right.
there are concerns about potential job displacement.
Yeah.
It's really critical that we invest in education and reskilling programs
Right.
to help people adapt.
To stay ahead of the curve.
Yeah, and make sure that everyone has a chance to participate in this, technological revolution.
So it's a balancing act between innovation and then also making sure
Yeah.
that we address those consequences. And
Absolutely.
that conversation needs to be happening at every level.
Yeah, from individual companies
Right.
to policymakers to, educators.
It's everyone's responsibility.
I think one thing's for sure, technology is going to continue to play a bigger role
Yeah.
in the future of manufacturing.
Right.
And it's really up to all of us to make sure that we're using it responsibly.
So to wrap up this deep dive into plastic injection mold lid times,
Yeah.
what are some key takeaways?
I think the biggest takeaway is that mold preparation timelines are not fixed.
Okay.
There's a lot of variability depending on
Right.
design complexity,
Yeah.
material choice, manufacturer capabilities,
Yeah.
even just the level of communication and planning involved.
So it's not one size fits all.
It's not one size fits
It's
all.
the journey.
It's a journey.
And you need to, be careful and really collaborate.
Yeah, and I think, knowledge is power.
Yeah.
The more you understand the factors that influence those timelines,
Right.
the better decisions you'll be able to make.
We explored a lot of those factors
That we
today,
did, yeah.
from design challenges
Wow.
to choosing the right manufacturer to the tech that's available.
Exactly.
And don't forget the human element.
Oh,
You
yeah.
know, build strong relationships with your manufacturer,
Yeah.
with their team, open communication, trust, and shared goals.
Absolutely. Those are the foundations of a successful journey.
Excellent points. So, to our listeners out there, I hope you feel empowered to tackle those mold preparation timelines
Yeah.
armed with all this new knowledge.
That absolute
It's
knowledge.
not just about speed,
Right.
it's about finding that balance
Yeah, the white balance.
between quality, efficiency, and that collaboration.
Exact.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
And don't be afraid to ask questions.
Yes.
The more you learn, better decisions you can make.
So, until next time, everyone, happy molding.
Happy molding.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a great question. And I think, it's easy to get so caught up in all
Yeah.
the technical stuff that we forget that there are people,
Right.
behind the scenes making it all happen.
Yes, not just robots that understand
Exactly.
this stuff.
And I think it really starts with fostering a company culture that values its employees,
Okay, cool.
invests in their skills, encourages open communication.
So it's about creating that environment
Yeah.
where they can thrive
Exact.
and want to do their best work.
Yeah. And when you have a team of, skilled and passionate people
Yeah.
who are working together towards a common goal,
Right.
that's when you get the best results.
That makes sense. And I know, speaking of technology, we've talked a lot about
Right.
CAD/CAM software automation
Right.
changing the game.
Yeah.
What are some of the challenges and opportunities that that presents,
Yeah.
especially when it comes to lead times?
Well, I think it's a fascinating thing to think about because on the one hand, these technologies have huge potential for improving efficiency, precision, quality.
Okay.
They can automate tasks, reduce human error,
Right.
enable us to create increasingly complex designs.
Yeah. It's
The
a
second, a superpowered workforce at your disposal.
Right, but like all powerful tools, I imagine there's
Yeah,
downsides too.
of course.
Yeah.
Integrating these technologies properly
Yeah.
requires a lot of investment,
Yeah.
not just in the technology itself, but also in training people to use it properly.
Got it.
It's not enough to just buy the latest gadgets.
Right, you need the people behind it.
Yeah, you need the knowledge and the expertise to actually use it effectively.
So it's finding that balance between technology and human capabilities.
Exactly.
Not replacing people.
Enhancing.
Yeah.
Enhancing, not replacing.
What about the broader societal impact of all these advancements?
Yeah, that's a really important question. And as automation becomes more prevalent in manufacturing, you know, there are concerns about jobs, you know.
Yeah, what happens to the people who were doing those jobs before?
And I think it's really critical that we invest in education and reskilling programs to help people adapt to this new environment.
Right, so they can stay ahead of the curve.
Exactly, and you know, ensure that everyone has the opportunity to participate in this technological revolution.
Right, so it's a balancing act between embracing the innovation.
Yes.
But then also making sure that we address the consequences.
Absolutely, and it's a conversation that needs to happen at all levels.
Yeah.
From you know, individual companies to policymakers to educators.
Yeah, it's everyone's responsibility.
It is. And I think one thing is for sure, technology is going to continue to play a bigger role in the future of manufacturing.
For sure.
So it's really up to us to make sure that we're using it responsibly and ethically.
Okay, so as we wrap up our deep dive here into plastic injection mold lead times, what are some key takeaways?
I think, you know, the biggest takeaway is that these timelines are not fixed.
Okay.
There's a lot of variability, and it depends on things like design complexity, material choice, the manufacturer, their capabilities, the level of communication.
So it's not one size fits all.
It's not a one size fits all approach.
It's a journey.
It's a journey.
It requires careful consideration.
Absolutely.
And collaboration.
And I think, you know, knowledge is power.
Yeah.
The more you understand these factors.
Yeah.
The better decisions you'll be able to make.
Absolutely. And we've talked about a lot of those factors today.
We did.
The design challenges.
Yeah.
Ticking the right manufacturer.
Sure. Technology.
All that good stuff.
Exactly.
And don't forget that human element.
Yes. The human element is so important.
Build strong relationships with your manufacturer.
Yeah, build strong relationships with your manufacturer.
Yeah. Open communication, trust, shared goals.
Those are the foundations.
Those are the foundations.
Of a good partnership.
So to our listeners out there, I hope you feel empowered to tackle those mold preparation timelines.
I hope so.
Armed with all this knowledge.
Yeah.
And it's not just about speed. It's about finding that balance.
Right. The right balance.
Between quality, efficiency, and collaboration.
I think you said it perfectly.
Awesome. So until next time, everyone, happy molding.
Happy molding.